Hallelujah. Hear the reading of God's word from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm to the end. Praise God for the reading of His Word. The apostle. Hallelujah. The apostle and the high priest of our confession, of our boast, of our witness, how we witness. But one of the things that I want to point out to you as we begin this, we'll talk more about him being the apostle and the high priest, but notice it says holy brethren, or holy brothers and sisters. Think about that. It is the understanding that when Jesus Christ comes into your heart and your life, you become a new creation and you are created in righteousness and true holiness. You are a holy work of God as His new creation. And therefore, the fact that we are holy speaks to our calling. It speaks to who we are and who we're called to be and who it is that we're called to serve. So it says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers, see? Because you are now created in this holiness, you are partakers of the heavenly calling. Some people say, well, you know, I know the pastor's got a calling on his life, but I don't know that I have a calling. Yes, you do. Every one of us have a calling. Our calling is to live our lives for Him, to have our boast and our confession in Christ Jesus. Now, that may work out in our lives in different ways, because many of us have jobs that the Lord has called us to, and but when we're out in the community, when we're at work, I mean, our faith is still in the Lord. Hallelujah. We're still hopefully praying for those that we work with, and in our free time, we're being a witness for Christ. That works out through our gifts, through the different ways in which God uses us. But hallelujah, to know that we're called, that we are holy in Him, that we are holy brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, partakers of the heavenly calling. And for every one of us, the main focus is to consider Jesus. To always look to Jesus. To let Him be our first and most important consideration, because He is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Now we know there were 12 apostles in Scripture. We know that Paul then was an apostle, one out of season, if you will, he said. But look at this. The apostle is one who is sent by God, sent with authority to carry out their calling, the calling that God has placed upon their lives. And Jesus is the first and foremost apostle. Everything He did in this life, He did in obedience to the Father. He says He came to do the will of the Father. Hallelujah. So he therefore is the apostle, the first and foremost apostle, and he is the high priest of our confession. High priest, meaning he is the one that represents us before God. The scripture says that he ever lives, he always lives, to make intercession for the saints. He makes intercession for us. He is the one that has made the way for us so that we can have relationship with the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that's so good. So let's look at this. We have an apostle and high priest of our confession, of our witness, of what we believe, the things that we say that we believe. We just spent a moment talking about and confessing the Apostles' Creed. Our forefathers, those who have gone before us, got together and looked and said, you know, these are important statements of faith that we need to teach Christians to confess these so that they understand the faith that they're called to. And so it's just meant to be a guide, something that reminds us of what the Scripture tells us in more detail. I was also thinking about our confession of faith in that regard. Some people want to use our confession of faith as a, I don't know, as somehow to sort of twist it and turn it, much in the way they want to do that with the Word of God. But I just want to remind you that our confession of faith was not intended to take the place of the Word of God. It says, first and foremost, that we believe the Word of God is the authoritative, it's infallible, and the authoritative rule of faith and practice. Okay? But the confession of faith doesn't contain everything that's in the Word of God. It just contains the most essential doctrines, so that we have a guideline, very much like the Apostles' Creed, so that we can say, well, these are the things that we believe. But it's just a guide, because the Word of God is always first and foremost and what we follow. It is the guide for our life. That's what we follow. So it is our confession. The Word of God is the confession that we should be bearing. That's why we need to know it. That's why we need to understand it. That's why we need to know exactly what the Scripture says about what Christ did for us, for who He is and what He's done, so that we can share those valuable truths with others, so they too can be compelled to turn their life over to Christ and become a new creation, a holy brother and sister who become partakers of the heavenly calling along with us. Hallelujah. He was faithful to Him who appointed Him, talking about Jesus being faithful to God, the Father, as Moses also was in all his house. Moses was considered faithful to do the work that God called him to. If you think about it, Moses would be very much, according to the definition that we gave concerning what an apostle is, Moses would have been an Old Testament apostle, right? Because he was called by God to do this work. He was given the authority to be the leader of the children of Israel, and he was called to do this thing and to carry out this particular calling that really, in a lot of ways, he didn't really want, but it was thrust upon him. But in the midst of it, he was faithful. We know he made some mistakes along the way, right? But all in all, he was considered faithful. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, Jesus has, just as much as the builder of the house, hallelujah, gets more glory, more honor than the house. I've seen some pretty houses. I see it, well, on the internet. I bought and I've gone, oh man, that's really pretty. But man, the person who really gets the glory on that's the person who built it. As a matter of fact, people go out of their way to find the builder. You know, I want that person to be the one who builds my house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Hallelujah. God is the ultimate builder. He's the builder of every one of our lives. He's the builder of every good thing. Now, Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are. We are the house of God. We are the house of Christ. We are His body. If we hold fast our confidence and our boast of our hope firm to the very end. I sort of love this part about Hebrews is that, we love the once saved, always saved, and we do believe that once God has grabbed hold of us and taken His place in our life, who's going to unseat Him? Who's going to separate us from the love of God? But at the same time, the writer of Hebrews is saying, hold fast your confidence, your boast of your hope firm to the end. We are His house, but we have a calling. We weren't called to just get saved. We were called. We've been called to be a witness. And it's not be a witness for 5 years. It's not be a witness until you turn 65. It's be a witness your whole life long until the very end. Hold your confidence firm until the end. Until the end of what? Until the end of your work life? No. The end of your life. Hallelujah. Wherever that may lead us, whatever may come, we hold our confidence in Christ. Our hope that He's coming back for us, that He has hold of us, that He's not letting go of us. We hold it firm until the very end. Now look, if you would, with me at verse 7. And we're going to read a scripture that is being spoken from Psalm. It's being taken from Psalm 95. And we'll look at that in a moment. But hear these words. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says. I love that. We know the Word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit. But I love that right here in verse 7, it points it out. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, the day that you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoke
you,
as in the day of trial in the wilderness.
When your fathers tried
me by testing me and saw my works, for 40 years. Therefore I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So as we know concerning these folks that they didn't make it into the promised land, they were the ones that rebelled. They were the ones that had this rebellious heart and an unbelieving heart. And so they lived their days out in the wilderness, in wilderness wanderings, until that generation was gone and the next generation grew up and they entered the promised land. Hallelujah. But I want you to look with me. Excuse me. I may not have put this in the right place. Hold on just a second. I didn't. All right. I didn't include it. So, I will just read it to you. Psalm 95, but I'd like for you to look at it in your Bible. Psalm 95, beginning with verse 7. It's where this inspired saying of the Holy Spirit comes from. Okay, Psalm 95. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you would hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as in Meribah, as in the day of Massah, in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me, though they had seen my work. For 40 years, I loathed that generation. Did you hear that? What's he saying? He's saying, they were there. They were there in Egypt, and they saw all of the plagues. They saw how I saved their households by the blood of the Lamb, and yet took the firstborn of all of Egypt. They saw how I led them out of Egypt and allowed them to plunder the Egyptians and take all of their goods out into the wilderness. And then they saw me open the Red Sea and allow them to walk through the Red Sea on dry ground and then collapse the Red Sea upon the Egyptian army. They saw all that. And you would think after you've seen all that, that you would be 100% like, oh yeah, I know God is going to take care of us. There ain't no doubt about that in my mind now. I may have had some doubts when we were walking out of Egypt. You know, here's hundreds of thousands of people walking out into the desert. How's this going to turn out? But the Lord had been a fire by night and a cloud by day. Man, we've had some 80-degree days this week. But all in all, we've had quite a few clouds, and it's been windy, and it's been rather nice. I can handle that on the bus when I got a little wind blowing through there, even though I don't have air conditioning. God took care of His people. There they were, out in the wilderness, and it would have been easy for them to perish. But God was taking care of this nation. There's nothing impossible with God. So then they come to a place of thirst, and they don't have anything to drink. And this is where it gets interesting. Because I read 95 to you because I wanted you to see that he referred to the place. He said, today, if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in Meribah and Massah in the wilderness. And you'd think Meribah and Massah would be a place. And it is because they named it that. But they named it that because of how the children of Israel acted when they were at that place. Meribah means quarreling. And so the children of Israel were quarreling with Moses. Moses was the representative of God. He was God's anointed. Moses and Aaron. And the people would quarrel with them. Why have you brought us out here in the wilderness just to kill us? We don't have any water. We're thirsting to death. And you'd think, well, and on one hand, haven't we all sort of made that argument at times? You know, things get a little hard. Lord, why is it so hard right now? Why am I going through this? We've all said that, I think, at times. If we were honest, we would have to admit that's been on our lips at different times in our lives. Maybe it was a low point, but we're all human. But all that quarreling represented something. Outward conflict with the leadership of God represented something else. The word Mesa means testing. So they were quarreling with the leadership of God, But in all actuality, they were testing God Himself. Inward unbelief towards God results in outward quarreling toward God's leadership. Meribah is the attitude that rises up in our heart when we're struggling with unbelief. Massa is the inward unbelief, the action that we really act upon toward God when we're having trouble believing God. I want to point something out to you. In Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, I'm not going to read it to you, but it gives the account of the first time. There were two times that the children of Israel had this issue of quarreling with God and quarreling with His leadership over water. And the first time it's recorded in Exodus chapter 17, 1 through 7, and God tells Moses to strike the rock with the staff that He had also struck in the river, the Nile River, and it turned to blood. He said, take that staff that I did that miracle with in Egypt and strike the rock. And He did, and water came forth. Okay? Stick with me here. I'm getting somewhere. All right? So then, in Numbers chapter 20, God tells him to speak to the rock. This is a different time, different place. But guess what? Both places get the same names because the same things happened in both places. Quarreling with His leadership because of an inward unbelief toward God. So, Moses, in this instance, what happened is Moses got angry. He was told by God, speak to the rock. And Moses spoke to the people and expressed his anger toward them, and then he struck the rock two times. And the water came out, and the people, their thirst was quenched, and they saw the miracle of God again. Only this time, God has something to say about it. And so look with me at Numbers 20, verses 12 and 13. But the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron, because you have not believed me. What? I thought it was the children of Israel that were the problem. Because you have not believed. He's speaking to Moses and Aaron. He says, because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel. How did I not treat you holy, God? I told you to do one thing and you did another. I told you to speak to the rock and you struck it out of anger. Because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Before that chapter's finished, Aaron's already had his garments, the anointed garments taken off from him and put on his son, and he falls dead. Moses has to be the one to carry that out. And it won't be much longer, and Moses will die before being allowed will not be allowed to go into the promised land. And yet at the same time, he's seen in that book of Hebrews as being faithful over his house. But think about it. In that one instance, he acted out of his flesh, and God said, you didn't honor me. You didn't believe me. If you had believed me, you would have just spoke to the rock. You wouldn't have struck it. Man, I just think that's interesting. We need to keep that in mind as we continue to look at this. Those were the waters of Meribah because the sons of Israel contended with the Lord and He proved Himself holy among them. Praise be to God. Now I just want to point something out to you, and I'm not going to go back and look it up, but I'll give you the verse, the chapter and verse. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. And that verse ends with these words. They were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them. And the rock was Christ. Now I understand. Now I understand why the writer of Hebrews was led by the Holy Spirit to go back and refer to this particular incident with the children of Israel. Because the very issue of stubbornness, the very issue of hard-heartedness, the very issue of being rebellious toward God's leadership and toward God, and having this inward unbelief. Man, I'll tell you what, they saw mighty things. I'm going to tell you what, in the church today, we've seen mighty things. We have seen people come to Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. We can look at our own lives and see the time when many of us can, see the time when we weren't walking with the Lord, and we know the exact moment in time when God saved us from our sinful ways and made us a new creation in Christ Jesus. The greatest miracle that could ever be performed. The new creation in Christ Jesus. We've witnessed His goodness. And yet, do we struggle to believe when hard times come? Do we try to look for a way to do it ourselves sometimes? Do we sometimes struggle in our own strength? Would God be out of place to say to us, why have you not believed me? Why did you not keep me as holy? By obeying my word. What does His word tell us to do? It tells us to lean not to our own understanding, to trust Him, in all our ways, to acknowledge Him. It tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. It tells us to be holy, for He is holy. And yet, so much of the time, we're making concessions. And that ought not to be. So look at Hebrews 3, verse 12. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. So the writer of Hebrews is talking to Christians. And he is talking to Christians. Talking to the church. And he's saying, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Man, that's so good. But encourage one another day after day. Be an encouragement to your brothers and sisters in Christ as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So I think what he's trying to say to us is that it is the deceitfulness of sin that leads to a hardened heart. Okay? And sin is very deceptive. We know that Satan is the father of lies. But we can just go back and look at the garden to see that, you know, the serpent had to make the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to look good. And he spoke about it in half-truths. And it took a while. We don't know exactly how long it took for her to get to the place to where she saw it as good for food and willing to offer it to her husband. We don't know exactly how long that process took place, but I can tell you this. The deceitfulness of sin is that sometimes we say, not now. We know God's speaking to us. We know that we need to act. We know that He's calling us. And yet we say, I don't think I'm ready. Not now. But the problem with saying not now is that not now oftentimes leads to no somewhere down the future. The deceitfulness of sin is that you don't commit a huge sin just all at once. It starts with just little concessions. And then over time, there's a stronghold that sets up in your life. And then the next thing you know, sin is running your life instead of God. And that is why we need to hear this word today. Because what the Scripture was saying, the Scripture that was being inspired by the Holy Spirit in the 95th Psalm, said today, oh hallelujah, praise God for redemption. Praise God for another opportunity. Praise God for a second chance. Because He said today, this moment right now, if you'll hear His voice, if you're willing to hear, do not harden your hearts. Don't let the deceitfulness of sin, wherever it's gotten to in your life, don't let it go any further. I love 1 John 1:9. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Sin does not have to continue. It's not the Lord of your life if you're in Christ Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit and can now choose to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We have the opportunity to say no to the deceitfulness of sin. Don't play with it. That's where everybody gets in trouble. Well, I was just going to do it this once. Well, everybody's asking me to go. I just thought I'd go this one time. I want to share a story with you I heard. It has nothing to do with believing in Jesus, I don't think. I don't know His heart and His life. But I know His commitment to greatness. And the story is about Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan told this story about how he was a rookie in the NBA. And he was invited to a party. And so he went to the place where the party was supposed to be. And there was this... I don't know if it was a hotel or if it was a apartment, but he went to the location and he's standing outside the door and he can hear people inside. He can hear that it is a party that it's going on. So he knocks on the door. Well, all of a sudden he hears, "Who is it?" And he says, "It's MJ." And then he hears him say, "Oh, he's okay. Let him come in. He's a rookie. He'll be all right." And they opened the door and they invited him to come in. And he said, "I could see all the women. I could see all the smoke. I could see all the stuff that was going on, the drinking and everything that was going on." And he said, "I heard something. Something inside of me said, if you walk in that door, when you come out of it, you won't be the same ever again." And he said, "Hey guys, I got to go." And he turned around and left. And he said, "I wanted greatness. I wanted to continue to develop my game. I didn't want to get distracted. I didn't want to get off and let that something take me off course." He said, "I wanted to stay on point." Now again, I don't know what condition of his life is spiritually. I don't know if he's a believer in Christ Jesus or not. But I know he had a commitment to greatness. And he knew there's a decision. There's a decision that comes in your life. Sometimes you're standing at the door. And a lot of us have walked through the door. And we're sorry that we ever did. Because the deceitfulness of sin takes hold. And he knew that if he went in that door and he started drinking and he started doing all that things, it would be hard to ever quit it. It would be hard to ever say, no, I'm not coming to the party tonight. And if he did that, he wouldn't have been as great as he was. He would have lost his focus. And there might not have ever been a Michael Jordan with six NBA titles. Man, the same thing's true for us. We need to have the boldness and the courage to say no to the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm to the end. Look at that. Some people would like to say, oh, it's just great that you're in Christ Jesus. And it is. But understand that there's a calling that's on your life now. You didn't just enter into this for life insurance. This is not just protection from eternal fire. This is about being obedient to Christ, walking with Him daily. We've become partakers of Christ Jesus. The heavenly calling. If we hold fast the beginning of our assurance, firm to the very end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart. He brings it back to us one last time. Today, He wants us to hear it again. Today, you've got a decision to make. Today could be the decision that starts you on the fulfillment of the calling of your ministry. If you hear His voice, don't harden your heart as when they provoked me. For who provoked Him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses, weren't they the ones that provoked Him? And with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest? But those who were disobedient. I'm going to tell you, the writer of Hebrews sees this thing in a little different light. He sees it in the light of following Christ, of understanding that we are no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. We belong to Him, and we have a higher calling. We are a holy people with a holy calling. And He wants us to fulfill it. So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Why does today matter so much? Well, it matters because hardening does not happen all at once. It matters because it happens over a time when we repeatedly say, not now. And as we said earlier, it's because eventually the not now becomes a no. So the big warning here, Israel's future wasn't a lack of information. They had seen all the miracles. They had been delivered out of Egypt, so they had seen salvation. They had witnessed the miracles of God, and so therefore they had had the revelation of God and His power. So no one could say they didn't know. No one could say they didn't have the information that they needed. But the problem was that they never fully trusted God. They were always in some level of unbelief. Somewhere they didn't believe. Somehow they made concessions. That's really about the relationship, isn't it? That's what it is. He's calling us into a relationship with Him. A relationship that has purpose. A relationship that has calling. a relationship that has expectations that we are going to walk with Him firm to the end. But let me tell you this, you'll never be disappointed. And He's given us His Holy Spirit and His grace and His mercy. I'm going to call upon the musicians to come, and we're going to sing this hymn of invitation. And as we do, if the Spirit of God speak into your heart today, I would just simply say to you, and I would remind you, today is a brand new day. Don't harden your heart today. Hallelujah. But trust God. Make a determination that we're going to believe God. That we're going to stand up on His Word. And it's going to be the standard for our life. And we're not going to back down. We're going to see our calling firm until the end. Hallelujah. Would you stand as we sing together?